Here in a microcosm is the plight of our postmodern age. We have become locked in the present moment, cut off from the promise of the future shining bright before us, without bearings from the past, and whistling through the graveyard of the now. Welcome to the Inverse Theology Project. I'm your host, T.M. Moore. This is Volume 1, Number 5, Practical Theology. The Christian life can be described as practicing the kingship of Jesus. Whatever that entails, it takes place in time, which is the most precious gift from God. In this edition of the Inverse Theology Project, we open the window of practical theology and let in some light from God to guide us in day-to-day living in the kingdom of God. We begin a study of what might be called the Christian's vantage point on life, that perspective on life and the world from which we pursue our daily lives as followers of Christ. Our meditations are entitled Vantage Point, and they are set in rhymed quatrains, an ancient and venerable form for Christian verse. Today's installment is entitled The Graveyard of the Now. October 31st. We're walking home from basketball. I'm in the 7th grade. It's cold, it's dark. A howling wind has made us shudder. Like a frenzied, ghostly comb, it whips our hair and rakes our scalps. We make some nervous Halloween jokes as we head into the graveyard, where we hope the dead will stay that way. We do not usually take this shortcut, but it's cold. We're cold. And I'm afraid. The deeper in we go, the darker it becomes. I'm thinking, steady, steady, get me out of here. Calm down, it's not your time to die. The jokes stop. We pick up the pace, and no one says a word, but I can hear us breathing, short, uncertain breaths. My fear is rising as it seems to me this place is threatening to swallow us alive. Then all at once, off from the right, the sound of running feet, the rapid rushing pound of paws or claws or hooves, no more than 5 feet from us. Panicked, we begin to run. My friends head for the distant light that marks the graveyard's end. But as the creature barks and growls, I turn to where we had begun our walk, back in among the dead and fear and dark uncertainty. Of course, the ghoul comes after me, the only one who's fool enough to run the wrong way. I can hear it, gaining, gaining, getting closer. All at once, I stop and turn and scream out loud. Ah! Loud enough to wake the slumbering crowd whose rest I had trespassed. I have a small gym bag in hand. I throw it at the beast. I hear Yates yelling, "It's got more!" They jog back toward me where a gentle, laughing dog is looking quizzically at me. At least I faced it down, I tell my friends. Relieved, we laugh a nervous laugh, then race like mad toward the exit, hoping nothing bad would stop us. Grateful to have been reprieved. Here, in a microcosm, is the plight of our postmodern age. We have become locked in the present moment, cut off from the promise of the future shining bright before us, without bearings from the past and whistling through the graveyard of the now. We know we've got to make it through somehow, but nothing certain, nothing seems to last, and every sudden change can terrify us into bad decisions that can plunge us into deeper darkness, where we lunge at this and that, scream in our souls, and cry out loud against uncertainty itself. Time shrinks. We have nowhere we can turn, no one to help us. It's too late to learn new tricks. Surviving is a work of stealth and raw emotion. So get angry, throw your gym bag at the world, and shout out, "Come on, come get me," as you spin about in your small space with nowhere else to go but in the present. Alan Jacobs writes, "We cannot understand the present by immersing fully in it. We must try to step back, step away, step forward. Sights set regularly all at once in all directions. Then we can come back to here and now and see things with a better, clear perspective. What matters, great or small." Four looks are herein recommended. We must occupy a vantage point that will permit us to engage each look until the truth comes clear to us. Then we may see things as they are, I need to clarify and to enlarge on Alan Jacobs' thought. The scriptures teach that wisdom says we ought to have a clear sense of our past, one eye at all times on those moments and events that have informed and shaped us. At the same time, we must see the future. We must name our longings and our goals without pretense or boast, but with some sense of how the past has led us to imagine where we might expect to end up when our day tonight has turned and we have come to breathe our last. But most of all, we need to step away. By this I mean we need to see with eyes fixed on the unseen realm, the heavenly prize that beckons to and calls us day by day, and which gives meaning to our future and our past, so that the present does not trap us in a too small world. Instead, we wrap our present moments, and we take our stand within a vantage point that looks four ways at once. We live our Christian lives in time. A time comes to us, regular as rhyme, from God Himself, and He intends our days and hours to be invested for His glory. We're saved by Jesus, who is Lord and King. We're called to follow Him in everything we do, for we are part of Jesus' story. We practice Jesus as our King, just as those first believers did, and this requires that we look unto Him, who never tires of looking down on us. For Jesus has us in His sights at all times, and we must reciprocate. For as we see Him, we can know where we have come from, what will be our destiny, and how we ought to trust Him in the present. These four looks become the vantage point from which we view and plan and carry out our daily lives. We can expect to understand where we are from, where we are headed, and how to redeem the time allotted to us as we learn to practice these four looks at every turn in all we do. I know this can seem unlikely or improbable, but we can do it. We can learn the discipline of looking up, back, forward, and within the present moment, so that we may see as Jesus sees, live as He has called us to in all our time, in all we do, and live with circumspection, looking to the Lord and living up to Him, enthralled with His majestic beauty, by His word informed and guided, by His Spirit taught, empowered, and led, His kingdom sought in all we do to glorify our Lord. Our study will unfold according to this plan. First, we will try to understand what time is, where it's from, its purpose, and how great a gift it is. And we will do this through the study of a short work by one of this country's greatest minds. Next, we will set our thoughts on things above, to see our Lord exalted in His glory, high above all things. From there, we'll turn our gaze to survey great events of history that indicate a clear trajectory for living in these sad, uncertain days. That leads us next to learn what we can know about the days to come. We cannot see the future with infallibility, but just in outline, but enough to show us how to plan our days and carry out our callings. We will learn to understand the times, what we must do and lend our hand to, and what things to be concerned about. Then, last, we'll see how these four looks combine to make our lives, in all their daily flow and ebb, a calling, where we daily go to seek the kingdom of the Lord and mine the riches each day holds in store. Now is no graveyard, but salvation's hour, and we are called to make the most of it, to see as Jesus does, for all our time is His, and seeing from His vantage point to live in righteousness and peace and joy, and to proclaim the holy name of Jesus, so that all to God may praise and glory give. Next, in Volume 1 of the Inverse Theology Project, we turn to spiritual theology to meet a most unsavory character whom, nonetheless, we need to know. Until then, for the Fellowship of Alba and the Inverse Theology Project, this is T.M. Moore.